I can only do what the Father wants me to do. If we would get that, the church is so messed up because we've let people lay hands on us and we got their demons in us. We got their junk bumping around. You're sitting in a big room and everybody holds hands with people they don't know. Y'all, people, just because I'm a minister, you can come stand up here and if God says don't touch them, I'm not touching them. Sometimes I'll ask somebody else to touch them. But if I ask somebody else to touch them, no, if I ask somebody else to touch them, God has shown me who to ask and God will protect that person. What's the difference? When the enemy specifically tries to get you to touch somebody. We just saw that the other night.
Yes.
So the Lord had me do an inhaling for somebody, new person. I'm sure they're fine, but they got stuff. They know they got stuff. And so I pray for them because the Lord showed me to pray for them. I'm not afraid to touch anybody God tells me to touch or he wants me to do an inhaling, whatever, healing the brokenhearted place. So then at the end, they kind of came around with a whole different attitude. I'm making fun of them. It was a very strange conversation a little bit, but I'm used to that. And then all of a sudden they said, well, something happened. Would you pray for me? And they're like, and I said, no, I'm not touching you. I said, pray for yourself. Put your own hand on yourself. And then I prayed. Amen. So there's this, we got to have some wisdom. Amen. Not fear-based, obedience-based. Amen. I don't walk in fear. I walk in obedience. But I got a fear of the Lord to know when God says no, he isn't playing. Amen. You can't take a demon out on your own. You can really get hurt. You can go find that in scripture. Amen. But I'm not afraid of any demons. Only because God lives in me and he's told me over and over that he's going to come through. But my flesh is, just so you know. I mean, my flesh, especially somebody you don't know, big, scary, like that one guy came in that one time and Dwight was here. Oh my gosh, Dwight's with the Lord now. But I'd like to have taken out devil lessons from him. I mean, he's up there. Where's the men in this church? They're all hiding back there. He's hanging this thing out. But we're getting there, aren't you guys? So I had Caleb come in and I purposely had his brother-in-law there. And I said to his brother-in-law before, Jordan, I said, have you noticed any problem? No, he was over for dinner. So it was still hypocrisy, right?
Yeah. So basically, living like that, and I come to church here every once in a while, you know, and thinking I'm fooling everybody, you know, just living a Christian life, but drinking and doing all this stuff and just a bunch of nonsense, living a double life. So actually, I don't know if you know this actually, but the day, so Cindy called me and was like, you know, hey, you want to talk, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, all right. So the day that our first meeting that we had.
In the office.
Yeah, in the office, the first meeting, I actually pulled a gun on somebody that day. And I don't know if you knew that. And that somebody was a police officer. And there was, it was a situation where my family got involved into like a gang-related thing. And I'm not going to get into details, but...
You know, when you were saying all that, I thought it was kind of... I didn't know if it was true. I thought maybe you were making all that up back then.
Oh, did I tell you that? Oh, no, that was real.
Oh, was that real? Okay.
Yeah, that really was real.
That's not a kind of part of the schizophrenic thing. Because, you know, that was bothering me too. I thought he thinks people are chasing him and all this stuff, but...
Yeah, that actually was real. Like, our family went through that, and then... Yeah, that one bar was real, but it was a big mess, and they ended up letting me go because our family was like in a really rough spot where they were undercover, they looked like thugs, and I thought they were trying to hurt my family, and so I was trying to be, you know, the protector, and I'm not, you know, God is the protector of my family, but at the time I'm like, you know, I'm protecting my family. I'm going to do what I got to do and ended up in a big mess. So anyways.
So God rescued you right in time. So when he came in here, like I said, normally I don't let the enemy talk to me. Amen. I'll tell shut up in Jesus' name. I'll take authority over it. I don't need to, the devil is a liar anyway, right? So you don't really need to hear what he says. People who get information from the devil for deliverance, I would much prefer you get word of knowledge. Amen. Word of knowledge is God tells you. I don't really listen to the enemy about anything. He's a liar. I don't go by anything he says. And so I was like, Lord, just show me. But the Lord wanted, for one thing, the Lord wanted Jordan to see how serious this was. And for me to see how serious it was. So we're sitting down, and I said, okay, I talked to Travis, and so I want you to tell me what's going on. And I just want you to really put it all out there. Well, the devil in him came to the surface and started speaking through him. It wasn't even him speaking. And began to tell me detail by detail how it wanted to kill me and how it wanted to do some other horrible things. And it freaked. I mean, it was worth it to almost to watch Jordan's face, because Jordan's like the nicest guy. Like, Jordan's like Mr. Nice, everything's great in life, Jordan, you know, like happy, happy Jordan, you know. And Jordan's sitting there like, you know, because he loves Caleb, he's his brother-in-law. Plus, you know, Debbie's daughter at the time was dating him, and we just, she saw a little bit of this side, but he kept it from her and Jordan, so he could keep it from a lot of people. But as he's talked, it got so violent and it got so graphic. And so finally the Lord said, tell him to shut up. So I said, shut up in the name of Jesus, you have no authority. And instantly the thing had to shut up. And so I'm praying, Lord, what do I do? Because I knew, he didn't know this, but I knew that I was calling 911 and having him arrested but before he got out in the parking lot, if he did not pick the right answer. And I wasn't kidding. Your butt would have been locked up. And with that gun you had that day, you'd have really gotten locked up. But so I said to him, I said, look, I can help you, but you're going to do every single thing I say, because this is serious. Do you want help, or do you think you're okay? And I think he even started crying.
I started to tear up, because here's the thing. I knew I had a problem, and I wanted help. That's the thing. I wanted help. And so, you know, I told her, I was like, yeah, I mean, I really want help. And she was like, if you don't do this my way, you know, we got to do this my way. So I was like, all right, that's fine. I'll do whatever you want. I need help.
And I didn't tell him at the time. The Bible says don't threaten, okay? There's a reason you don't threaten. When you threaten, it's a spirit of intimidation that controls a person's actions instead of free will choice, okay? And you don't want to get the devil involved in this stuff. So God, and even with your children, don't threaten your children. That's another whole teaching. But threaten releases the wrong spirit into the situation. You let your yes be yes and your no be no. So I already knew if he says no, he's fine, he'll handle it. I was going to call the police because it wasn't safe for him to be around. Amen? And I really didn't want to, because I knew if they had evaluated him, he was really going to be locked up. So what we did is I said, okay, I got Jordan, and we called some other guys. I said, they're going to go to your trailer, to your house, and they're going to take every violent thing you have, every perverted thing you have. Did we even take your computer? I think we even took your computer.
I didn't even have a computer. Yeah,
okay, so they went over, they took all guns, all knives, everything. We made him get his little hand grenade thing off of his
truck. The funny thing about that is when we went outside, I had the grenade on my truck, and I had just bought that. And it was, you know, I was poor. And
I was poor.
I really was. I was pretty poor. You know, there'd be like days I wouldn't eat because I just didn't have money for food. But anyway, so I had just bought that. I was like, man, I'm gonna get this sticker and I'm gonna put it on my truck. And it was a big sticker, it was a big grenade. She was like, you need to take that thing off. And I was like, no, I just bought it. and then after she left, me and Jordan were in the parking lot, and I was like, dude, I'm not taking that sticker off. And he was like, just take the sticker off. He was like, I remember like it was yesterday, he was like, just take the sticker off. He was like, it's just a sticker. And I was like, dude, but I just got it. He's like, it's just a sticker, take it off. I was like, all right. And I took it off right there.
And if he hadn't taken it off, he wouldn't have got free. And so, so just so people know, well, there's the spirits behind that stuff. Okay. This is what people don't know, and I'm telling you behind the scenes ministry, you don't just handle something like that and walk away like everybody's safe. People weren't safe around him, amen? So I called his girlfriend and I said, I don't want you in that house with him alone at all until we get to the other side of this. And truthfully, I'd love to this day to do some healing on her where she had to get frightened with some things. We called the trailer park manager who was part of this ministry, and we said, look, this is what's going on. Keep an eye on him. You know, if you see anything going on, you know, just talk to us. Jordan had just started working at the same place, so Jordan said, I'll keep an eye on him there. And basically, he had to come and check in. He had to talk to Jordan. We had an entire ministry set up to make sure other people were safe. We took everything he had violent away from him. He agreed not to, what was he doing? He was fasting this thing. That's what he was doing. He had to fast this thing. Amen? Some only come out through fasting and prayer. Okay, fasting doesn't mean food. Fasting means, it can mean not eating food, but fasting means not doing that which is in the way. Okay, so to tear that thing down, you take away its power. For example, if you have a spirit, let's say you have a spirit of perversion, an unclean spirit with pornography. Every time you look at something, you either feed that thing or take away its power. Okay? And so if you want to get that thing out, you've got to get in charge to say, you know what? That thing is not going, I'm going to take away its power. In Jesus' name, I'm going to take away its power. If I got to get other people around me to take away its power, if I got to put the computer way away or put special locks on it, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to take away this thing's power. And we'll get this, like he's talking about, it happens in your head, and I know some of the rest of you. It really attacks. It's not kidding. It's like, you got to get it. You got to get it. I'm going to do it. They can't. Can everybody get it? They're invisible. They're powerless. They can't do anything unless you let them use your hands and your feet and your mouth to do it. They're invisible. They can't do anything to anybody unless they can get in a body and then take over that body. Amen? They're invisible. They're powerless. Powerless! Except for the power you give them.
And I just want to add to that, when I was going through all the torment before I came here, I was going through so much torment. I mean, it was real. And I just wanted to get away from it. I would drink so much just to not think about it, just to not think. And I ended up actually ODing. And I started to die, but I ended up calling my friend. I was like, hey, man, I'm dying. This is it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, I'm shaking. I'm going into convulsions and all this stuff. And it was just because I wanted to get away from it because it was so real, you know, just the torment and stuff. So, like, I mean, it's no joke.
And the thing with torment, okay, it's a devil screaming in your head for you to empower it, okay? And the reason people give in to it is to shut it up. But if you catch on, you're not shutting it up. You're making it stronger. Okay, you're just making it stronger. So it wants to see more perverted stuff. It wants more violent stuff. It wants more violent games. It wants more. Do you get it? It's a devil inside of you talking in your brain, telling you. And so saying, if you don't have one, praise God, I don't have one. Thank you, Jesus. But to help other people see. There's an invisible thing living inside there that they've let in somehow. And we'll get into more details tomorrow about how and how to get it out. And they're feeding it. Amen? So you got to they have to fast it.
It's never satisfied.
Yeah, you've got. It's never satisfied. No, it will not be satisfied until it takes you to hell and takes other people with it. Amen. Yeah. And it's powerful. It's not powerful except where you give it power. So if you get that, you have the authority to either empower it or take away its power in Jesus' name. You have that authority. You have that authority in Christ Jesus. Amen. You have that authority, but you have to choose it. And tomorrow, Irene's going to share because she has such a good testimony about how all these years she treated that tormenting thing in her to the place where it lost its voice in her head altogether. Now, here's the problem. You people, I'm going to make you cast it out of me so it doesn't bother me anymore. It doesn't work. It'll come back with seven more, and you will be totally insane very quickly. No, you will learn who you are in Christ Jesus. You will learn that that thing has no authority or power. You will learn to tell it to shut up in Jesus' name as if it was a rotten child who needs to go and behave. Amen. Even though it's nowhere near as great as even the most rotten child is only rotten because of the enemy. Amen? Are you, you know what I'm saying? But you have to treat it like a dog that needs to sit when you say sit. You have to take authority over it. You don't get it. You want that devil to become scared of you.
Amen.
Play music, Christian music. Read the word. Get scripture all around you. Don't feed it. Tear it down. Feed your spirit man. Feed your spirit man that's been born again by the Spirit of God. Feed your spirit man. Get so strong. And if you get strong in your spirit, this stuff will bow its knee without big drama. Without big drama. You'll be one day, you'll just sneeze and say, you know what? It's got to go. In Jesus' name, boom. Nobody will even have to pray for you.
Amen.
See, everybody wants to fast. Please get this out. Why? So it can come back seven times worse? Tell it to shut up in Jesus' name. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written. You want to know how to shut up? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Amen? And then don't do anything to feed it. We used to have a teaching called, what was it called? Don't feed the demons or something. But if you would start recognizing, you're either feeding it, which is empowering it, or taking away its authority. You're either empowering your spirit man, or you're empowering the enemy. Every what you watch, what you listen to, who you hang out with, how you choose to spend your time, you're making that choice. I'm not saying that God's not going to have other people in your life who knows him to do deliverance. Amen? God knows how he's going to get you free. If you're the person who doesn't want to ask anybody for help, he will probably make you ask somebody for help. If you're the kind of person begging everybody to help you, you will probably have to do this on your own between you and God. You keep getting these great looks like, whoa, what is she talking about? Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Because the enemy wants to get, I'm going to get the teacher on codependence. The enemy wants to get somebody who feeds it. That's all. That's what codependency is. Codependency is some hurt place in you with the spirit tries to personally find somebody who has the kind of spirit that will feed it. Amen? So that's why you got to back away and quit feeding it. But you get in these relationships where all you do is feed that thing. And then the love-hate relationships, the crazy family relationships. Amen? Well, I don't know what's going to happen if I quit. Why don't you find out? Quit feeding it. Deliverance isn't difficult. It's you recognizing what the enemy's up to. And changing, being a part of that. Ministers, people who minister, you've got to get free from codependency. You've got to get free from people making you feel good about yourself. You've got to get free from feeling needed. Amen? You've got to be able to say the hard things. Somebody calls you and they want prayer, but it's really a spirit in them wanting to be fed, to be enabled, to feel important, to feel that they're special, whatever it's trying to do that has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. Amen? You're going to say, hey, you know what? I can't talk to you. Bye. Don't call me. What? A pastor who would tell somebody not to call her? Most people don't get my phone number. And if you do get my phone number and you call me with the wrong spirit, you won't talk to me very long. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'm not going to feed that thing. That other people, you know, it's not about who you like or don't like. It's about, you know, I'm not feeding that thing. If you call the office and you really need to talk to somebody, somebody will talk to you. If we have a men's pastor, he's going to talk to the men. When the devil tells you who has to do it, and it's got to be that person, and they did it for that person, why won't they do it for me? Do you get what I'm saying? That's a devil. That's a codependency. That's a spirit going, please, I need to be fed. Oh my gosh, they're in church. Where can I find somebody in this church to feed me? Oh, I need, who can I get? Oh, let me try to get somebody who's really walking with God in the anointing so I can start tearing that down. Let me get in there and tear that down. That's why as ministers, you got to recognize, even as people in the family, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to do what the Father tells me to do. If he tells me to pray for you, I'll knock on your door in the middle of the night. I'll find out where you live. I'll do whatever he wants. I'll jump over your car. I don't care. I will do whatever he wants me to do. And I'm not doing what you want me to do. Parents, it's the same way. Wives, with husbands, husbands with wives. What is it that God wants me to do? What does that require? It requires me to be walking with God. Amen? And then it's real ministry. It's powerful and it works. Amen? And nobody becomes your judge. Nobody becomes your judge. Amen? That's another whole teaching. Get the teaching on getting free from entanglements. Satan loves to keep entanglements, and no kind of ministry can happen. And oh my gosh, with the doctrine of covering and the doctrine out there, it's like a gigantic, let's throw everybody under this net and let them entangle each other and call it ministry and see how good they feel about each other. Anyway, that's another whole teaching. So, all right, so here's the thing. So we get down to this place. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was really scared after what the devil said to me. There's scripture where Paul says he was trembling in his flesh. Okay, when we had that monster typhoon coming at us in the Philippines 2 years ago, I was really scared, okay? But my spirit man's not scared, okay? And deep in the core of my being and my inner man, who I really am, I knew that I knew God's not going to wipe me out. How? Because he told me, you're not going to die, you'll be okay. Okay, thank you. Right? So we have flesh, amen? We have with fear and trembling. And if you act like you don't, you probably have pretended faith. Like who in the Bible? Peter. Amen? So it's okay. You should have, to some point, a little bit of a struggle with your flesh. What does Paul say? I die daily. Amen? So this isn't about getting into pride and getting confidence in yourself. Amen? I have no confidence in me. No, I'd be hiding. I'd be locking the door and hiding. Amen? This isn't about me. This is like, I'm hiding. I'm hidden in Christ. But it's about, he takes over. That's the cool thing. God takes over. So I don't have to have any fear. Amen? I don't have any fear in my spirit when it comes to this stuff. It doesn't mean I like it. Because I don't like talking to the devil. I don't like seeing people hurt. I don't like seeing the enemy try to strangle and kill people right in front of me. I don't like it. You know, tomorrow we'll tell you, you know, we got to get finished here in a few minutes. But tomorrow, you know, I'll tell you some stories that are true and what God taught me in those. I've watched the enemy try to kill people right in front of me. I knew if I didn't obey God and get to the other side of this, if I backed off, I was going to be calling an ambulance or worse. That was right on the floor over there. I have these Kodak moments. This happened there and this happened there. So what happened? We'll finish with this. So though Caleb wanted right away, help me get free, God knew, no, we have to plunder this house. And we're going to talk, we're going to have a whole session tomorrow talking about how do you plunder a house and you plunder anything going on in you. But if you're ministering to somebody else, then you plunder the house. And it's cool. An evangelist can come in and say, okay, and I did this and this happened and this happened and this happened and leave. Amen? Because evangelists come in to stir up the gifts. They come in to get us excited about God. But you can ask anybody who is a pastor or a teacher or moving in any part of the apostolic, anybody who actually deals with people day in and day out. It's a lot more to it than a 5-second message. If it wasn't, he wouldn't have left the whole word and sent us his Holy Spirit. Amen? And so those are great messages. And God loves those messages to stir us up. But there really are pastors. Pastors are the people of a one-to-one commitment, or not one, small group commitment. Our life groups, there's pastors being developed in our life groups. Greg is an awesome pastor. I'm a pastor to the leaders in the church. It's just a different people have different callings. It's who you really want to connect with. We've even had people come in where I've learned, I've watched people go back and I thought, what happened? And Lord showed me, you didn't surround them with people that could be there to really help them, because you can't do it all. And so now, you know, depending on the situation, Lord will put together a whole group to hold one person together while they walk through this process. And they all become friends and minister one to another. Everybody needs it. Amen? But God is, he's really a creative God. And that's where we have to get out of formulas. You know, just because you read it in somebody else's book, unless it was the Bible, doesn't mean it's what he has you doing in the way he has you doing it. Amen? He wants you to flow how he wants to go with it. So So we didn't do anything. What was it, about 4 months?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 months went on.
And he hated just, walking in here.
Yeah, it was really hard.
And it was scary when he walked in here.
there was a couple nights I couldn't even make it in again. I actually would sit in the back because I could hear better, and I would sit in the back and listen to the preaching because I just couldn't walk in the door. And when I say that, like I'd go up to the door and I couldn't do it. So I just would go sit in the back and listen to the preaching. And so that went on for a while, and coming here and she would meet with me with other people, you know. And so just kind of ministering to me and tearing down that house. So we were tearing down the house and everything, and then I guess the devil knew it was getting close to getting free.
He would walk in every meeting and I would be like, oh, you know, because I could see he would sit over there, and it took everything he had to come of God. But I mean, his eyes, he wanted to kill me so bad. I mean, the devil in him. I mean, seriously, I could tell he was in so much torment. He just wanted to kill. And I'm like preaching over this way, like, oh God, help me. And I really didn't want to pray for him because I just really didn't want to get into another match. You know, I just said, Lord, I'll do what you want. I'll do what you want. And I remember, so the day he came in, we had people watching him everywhere he was at. He got rid of all the junk. He was coming to church. He was listening to teaching here. He had people praying with him. And Jordan was really good at talking to him about family things and things going on. And this is one of the coolest things to me. The Sunday before, what night was that you got free? Friday night?
It was a Tuesday.
Tuesday night after service. And so that Sunday, he came in and he had the spirit on. He didn't know it. I knew it. God showed me. And he walked in and he said, hi, Miss Cindy. And he said some real spiritual thing just right. And he walked off and the Lord said, that's a religious spirit. Lord tell me this. Don't tell anybody. He goes, that's the enemy's secret weapon. The enemy thinks he's going to get almost to deliverance and then he's going to act like he's delivered, but he won't be. But I'll show you. Don't tell anybody. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. So I'm knowing this is coming up soon.
And I asked her, I was like, so, you know, I think I'm doing a lot better. So I'm going to go to the doctor and see if I can get some meds. And she was like, no, just wait. Don't.
Okay, first of all, I never tell anybody not to go to the doctor. I never tell them not to get meds. I told him, if you don't think you can handle it, do what you have to do.
Yes.
Okay, that's the truth.
Yeah, that's
right. And that is the truth. Because I'm not going to be responsible for somebody not taking meds. Amen? And nobody as a minister should take that on themselves. Okay? But if somebody does self-medicate or gets meds, it's much harder to get to the real person. Once they start taking meds for schizophrenia or mental illness or any when that happens, it's a whole long road to get them free because the meds block you being able to get to that thing and talk to that thing. So what I do when people are on meds, and we have about 3 people with schizophrenia that we've been dealing with for years. They've all had to move out of the area, and we've helped them get where they can keep jobs and have relationships. But I can't tell anybody to go off their meds. Amen? That's not my job. All I can do is pray that they get so much better that the doctor takes them off the meds once they're on the meds. And then as we keep doing inner healings and deliverances, most of them get less and less meds. But so as a minister, because we're watching him, I've got people surrounding him, amen? He doesn't have anything on his property to harm himself with. And I'm telling you this really because people don't take ministry as serious as they need to take it. These are life and death situations, amen? That's why the government is so involved. That's why they take license and put people in jail, because we're just out there wildly doing stuff and people are getting hurt and the enemy's setting people up with all kinds of traps. And don't judge anyone in ministry who does this stuff, because I'm going to tell you what, the devil's a tricky thing. I mean, I've had people try to make me take a demon out of it, and God's like, don't do it. I have to go and sing over and bind it or something and keep on preaching while everybody doesn't even know what else is going on, because the Lord will tell me, if you touch that thing, it's going to make this person go crazy right here in this room, and they don't know me, they're not walking with me, they're a plan of the enemy, so you can't do it. I mean, goodness gracious, I mean, just this is an adventure. That's all I can say. Walking this thing and living with God is an adventure. And that part's exciting to me. I always have that Goliath. I got that, give me the rock. I'm going to take Goliath out. Amen? So we were doing all this. And truthfully, I kind of avoided him a little bit because he was very scary to me. And so Caleb came in one night, that Tuesday night. Yeah. Well, first that Sunday happened, so I knew something was happening. Now, personally, I knew I had authority over most of the demons that had been attacking him. Because I've seen myself get people free from it. I've seen people free from murder. I've seen people free from religious spirits, all these things. I personally did not know if I had walked into place to get somebody free from schizophrenia. Because the three or four people I've ministered to have gotten better, much better, but up to that point I had never seen anybody getting free. Okay, I'm just honest. And so I just didn't know that I knew that I knew that I would be able to take authority over insanity. And so I just personally didn't feel ready. Like if you came in here with grief and sorrow, I know I could get you free. If you're serious and you want to sit here and listen and we'll talk about it, I know that I know because God took that log out of my eye. I know that I can get that splinter. I know that I can do that. I know if it's murder, almost anything. But there's certain things that I haven't personally had to walk through that, you know, I just don't know until I do it. Amen? And so this was one of those things. So I just knew, so Caleb came in and he said, Miss Cindy, he said, will you pray for me? And I said, if you're still here at the end of the service, hoping he'd leave. But,
Nope.
Nope is right. Even after the service, I didn't see him. I thought, oh, good. And as I'm getting, he's like, Miss Cindy, you said you'd pray for me. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And in my thinking, which it's better not to think, but I still do. I don't as much as I did back then. This was how many years ago now? 2 years ago, about?
About two years ago.
So maybe three almost.
Yeah, actually three going on four.
Yeah, three. So I said, I remember thinking, okay, I could get this out. And I said, well, we're going to get some things out tonight, okay? And this was so cool, though. This is the God part. This is so, so cool. I was like, oh. So there was about seven people left. I said, hey, you guys stay. We're going to pray for Caleb. I think Rose was there and Karen was there. Matt, you're brave. And Matt was a Marine man. He's right there. Nothing. I think his eyes were closed, but still, you were good. You're like statue man. And Jordan was there. Anyway, there was about seven of us here. I'm not sure exactly who. I remember we were all at that couch. And then Ryan, I think, was hiding in the sound booth or asleep or something.
Yeah, he was in the sound
booth. I wish he had videotaped this. Honest to goodness, I have never, ever in my whole life, and I've seen a lot, witnessed anything like the drama of this deliverance. And I really believe that God pulled back the veil so we could see in the spirit realm what really happens. Because normally you don't see all that we saw, and there's no way it was a show. There's no way it was a show. And I've never, ever, ever participated in anything like it before. And I think the Lord seriously just was a lesson. Like, I'm going to pull back the veil in the spirit realm and let you really see what's going on. So I'm thinking, oh, and he doesn't know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, because I'm trying not to look like I'm like, oh, I hate doing this. I don't want to be cussed at and yelled at and something tell me he's going to kill me and try to take off my fingernails. And I'm like, okay, God, you know, we'll just do this. So in my brain, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to bind this and just, we'll just do one or two little things and bind it and send everybody home till next time. And so as I walked over the sound booth, I forgot why to talk to somebody. My hand, let's see, which hand was it? This hand probably?
Yeah, we were standing over here and you started praying for me and it was all calm. We were just standing there.
Okay, first thing I had him say, this is one of the keys when we go over the five essentials, whatever I call this thing. One of the steps, y'all come up with your own five steps, is always, before you start a deliverance, always, while they're in their right, while they're in their real mind, ask them who is Lord of their life. Make sure they understand who Jesus is. Make sure they're really born again. Amen? Make sure. Talk to them before the enemy takes over. And make sure that they're born again. Otherwise, you're going to be fighting a battle that might really hurt somebody. Amen? I'm not saying you, if you're protected by God's grace, but maybe even them. So you want to know, I personally don't take demons out of people who aren't born again, okay? Until they become born again. Can you? Yes. They could be a lot worse quickly. I won't say I would never would. If somebody was attacking me, I'd take it out. Amen? For my protection. If I couldn't bind it and just stop it, I would take it out. But the bottom line is, if Jesus is Lord, then they're going to stay free. If Jesus is Lord, then you're going to know without question that you can stand on the blood of the Lamb, amen, and you can make that thing come out without any question. And so, but I didn't tell him this yet. When I was over here, my hand felt like it was seven, I don't know why, it felt like seven times bigger. I've never ever had this before. I've never had it since. I'm not saying it won't. I know that was numbers. My hand, literally, I had to look, it was looked the same size, but it felt so big. It was the hand of the Lord. Whoa, it was the hand of the Lord. So God was going to do this thing way before I was ready to do this thing, way before I knew how to do this thing. I didn't have a clue. He was like, I'm going to show you. The Lord's like, let me teach you something. Let me show you something. And my son wants to be free. So my hand got so big like that. But then you go study the hand of the Lord. And so so he's standing over here, and I'm just going to do a real simple prayer. Even with when somebody isn't fake religious or hyper spiritual, you're really you. You know what I mean? Like, you really you. Like, that's why this is such a ride. You know, what does he say? He put an earthen vessel so we know it's not of ourselves. Those earthen vessels are going, what? How did I get in the middle of this? How did I get in this storm? God, what are you doing? Where are we? You know, that's the real Christian walk. People who walk like it's some zombie kind of thing, they got a religious spirit, amen, which is a mocking spirit of the real. When it's real, God gets a kick out of you being you and seeing how cool this is because he's him. Amen. You know it's not you if you do the real deal. You know it's not you. You're like, oh, everybody else, oh, is she brave? And so when I put my hand right there, first I said, say who is Lord. Yeah. And we talked about who Jesus was and all. And he said, Jesus is Lord.
It was all calm. We were just standing there. You know, she's praying for me. She's like, say, Jesus is Lord. So, you know, I was saying, Jesus is Lord. And then she said it again, say Jesus Lord. And then all of a sudden I couldn't speak anymore. I couldn't speak. And then that's when I like felt her hand. It felt like it was across my whole chest. I was like, what the heck is going on? And then all of a sudden, like, this thing took over.
And in
it
him.
Was, yeah, in me. And it was, whining and doing whatever. I will say, like, I remember, because this time it was different. Like, I blacked out, but I knew what was going on, I knew where everyone was, and we were sitting there, and she was praying for me, and every time I'd go to punch at her, it would stop like that, and it would stop every time,
And he won't punch in light. I mean,
my arm actually the next day hurt so bad. Because just the force of trying to hit everyone, and so it's, you know, doing all this thing, and she's praying for me, and she just kept saying, "Say Jesus is Lord, say Jesus is Lord," and you know, it was just manifesting. And
well, the thing that was okay, it was a 45-minute. It took 45 minutes,
and it felt like 5 minutes to me.
It felt like 7 hours to the rest of us. It was like, I mean, I know all the angels had to tune in. Hey, there's a drama sitcom on. Let's watch this, you know, because of course the angels could see, you know, they could see the angels in the room and what God was doing, you know. And we laugh now. It was, oh God, you're just like, please let this be over. Let me bind this thing. And I'll never forget, Karen, you know what everybody's thinking. So I know Karen was like, do I go call 911? Do I go call 911? You can see Karen look kind of working her way over to the door. You know, do I go call 911? Rose was just hiding. Rose was just like hiding, like, I'm new here. What is going on? This is well.
I give it to Matt. He was standing.
Yeah,
he was standing right there.
No, he was on this side. He was like this.
Yeah, he was like that. And I knew, like, the thing knew, like, nah, Cindy was a no-go. So Matt was standing there. So I got up right in Matt's face. And dude stood there the whole time, just like this.
You did. We were like, woo.
I mean, it was like, boom. And it didn't, nothing touched on me.
The thing that we can laugh about it is because we know how big God is. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing about it was funny that night. There was nobody laughing that night.
Even when it
was over, we were like, oh, God. But it was so supernatural, though. But I'll never forget because the Lord started telling me what to call out. And I'm telling you the story because it demonstrates the scriptures. Well, we don't have time tonight to go, but tomorrow. I'm demonstrating to you God plundering the house, how strategic it is, how God has a specific order. We need to hear him and walk in that. Not be afraid. I mean, okay, even if you're afraid, don't worry about it. Just when you got to go for it, you got to go for it. Amen? And God will take care of you. Amen? Just have your heart right with God, and he'll take care of you. And so so I'm sitting there and say, I seem so brave because Holy Spirit's on my brain. The Lord, get me out of my thinking. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I forgot. First,
you said,
do we have to come out first?
You said the spirit of murder bow its knee. And then, like, something like, it was weird because this thing did not want to bow its knee. It did not.
That was near the end now. We did 30 minutes before that. First, we got rid of, I don't know, the Lord just told me certain things that we had seen. We got rid of maybe murder first. But
yeah.
When we got rid of it, that's when he came at me. You know, he said, I'm going to kill you. And it's like growling and all this crazy stuff at all of us. And like this, I mean, like this close, like really hard. And I just stand there and I'm going, in Jesus' name, come out. In Jesus' name, come out. God had to be laughing. I'm like, Jesus' name, come out. The blood of Jesus covers you. And he would get madder and madder. And then finally, it gave up. I mean, that thing came out. So then all of a sudden, this other spirit was there that was a thug. You know what I'm talking about? Like the thug gangster thing. And he's going, I mean, it was like, he's like, you scared of me? You scared of me? And we're all sitting there like, what are we, in drama or something? We're like, we just got murder out. Why are we scared of you? And we're like, no, we're not scared of you. In Jesus' name, come out. And I was like, I forgot what God told me, gangster thing or whatever, come out. So that thing came out. And we called out, I can't even remember them all. We called out at least probably 10 by name. And
they all did their own thing.
Yeah, they all did their own thing. It was like, just every one of them had an entire person happening and all this stuff.
That was split personality.
It was really strange. It was really God. I think God exaggerated what was going on to show us how real this is when you call something out. And so, because I've done a lot of deliverance, and I've never seen where God let you see inside what's really happening like this. And it wasn't funny at the time. I mean, all of us were like, please be over soon. I mean, it was so intense. And there were all these other ones we called out. Getting murder out took the longest. That took about 30 minutes of the time, maybe 25 minutes. And because he kept trying to make us afraid, the devil would get our face, you're afraid of me, and I'm going to do this and all this. And then, so we got past that. And then this was so funny. Then all of a sudden, there was another one. There was drama. There was just all these different things. But we got to the one, and all of a sudden, and we were all so tired. Everybody was so tired. We were so ready to get out of here. It really was intense. I can't even tell you how intense it was.
It was getting late.
It was getting late, and it was very intense. We probably didn't even start till about 10:30. And then all of a sudden, he's like, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, shut up and come out of him in the name of Jesus. All the rest of them, you guys, rise, are like, what? What? And I thought, this is it. Guy goes, this is it. This is where it's hiding. And I got that thing. And he's like, what?
I was like, yeah, Jesus, blah, blah, blah. Like saying Jesus and all this stuff. And I remember that. And then that's when you were like saying, bow your knee.
Right.
And it wouldn't. I remember that probably the most. And
see, once we got that religious spirit out of the way that was going to say all the right things. So remember, he took you back to his childhood. That he got that in his childhood, and so. But because God had revealed that to me on Sunday when I saw it, it was so funny because everybody was so ready for this to be over. Honest to goodness, and they all looked at me like, "What just happened?" And then it came out. And then when it came out, that's when it got really real. That's when I said, who is Lord? Who is Lord? Everything bow its knee. Who is Lord? And then he really, the thing was begging him, right, to let him stay. He was your friend. You were saying out loud. The thing started talking.
It was talking
through
me out loud, I was having a personal conversation with myself out loud.
And the devil.
And the devil.
The devil would say, come on, Caleb, you want me. Tell them you want me. And Caleb was like, no. And the devil was like, no, I've been your friend. Remember, I made people afraid of you? And he's having this whole conversation with this devil trying to stay in.
Yeah, it was like, remember how I helped you intimidate people and you don't want me to leave. You want me to be your friend. You want me to stay.
I mean, it was begging.
It was like, please don't let me go.
And then I said, I don't care if he says you can stay. I say you can't. You know, that was hot by then. You know, I'm alive with Holy Ghost. Now get out. We're not coming this far for something stupid to say he can stay. So we got to that place, and then all of a sudden he's like blacked out, and it was so cool because I was just standing there, and Caleb was like down on the floor. We made this thing bow, and he's down on the floor, and I'm like, Caleb, say Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. And Caleb says, Cindy, I didn't even know you were there. Remember, you saw the Lord.
Well, yeah, because it was like I was on my knees, and like after this is like speaking through me and everything, and I'm having this conversation, I was like, I literally said in my head to God, I was like, God, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I don't know anything. I was like, please, please help me. I was like, I need you. And in that moment, I just saw a light. Like, that's all I saw. But like, it was like, you know, representing, it was Jesus. And it was like, I was like, Jesus, I need you, please. And it was the thing that it was Jesus that set me free.
Amen.
It wasn't anyone else. No one else can set you free but Jesus.
Amen.
And that's the key.
Amen.
And I can stand here and tell you today, I'm 100% free. Today because of Jesus.
Amen.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, my eyes were closed, but I knew where everyone was because this thing was just like that. But so I'm like sitting there and I'm like, I'm just like so dependent upon the God on Jesus. And I'm like, I need you. And then instantly, like,
you said, Jesus is Lord.
I opened my eyes and I said, Jesus is Lord. And instantly I was 100% free.
And the thing was that he saw, because he was saying it. This was wild. The devil was saying in him, oh, it's red. It's red. It's like he saw the
blood of Christ.
I didn't want
to see the red soil.
And he just goes, no, it's red. It's red. And all of a sudden he starts screaming, no, don't make me go there. Don't make me go there. And then we watched supernaturally something make him bow his knee. You know, we watched him. We're just standing there saying, bow in the name of Jesus. And he's going, no, no. And then he's begging Caleb the whole way down. And then you could see when he said, Jesus is Lord, it slid right out of him down, I believe, right through the blood of Christ, but down to the pit. And we took it there. And then he was really free. And everybody's looking like, is he really free now? And we were all kind of like, I don't know. That was you know.
I actually, right when I got free, I started bursting out crying.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, just so thankful that what God's done for me. And I actually remember saying, I was like, Lord, right after that, remember that? I was like, Lord, I was like, I want you to use me to set people free. And everything, and I was like, "Man, what am I saying?" but I was bawling my eyes out, and just because everything, all the torment, all the thoughts, everything was gone, and it was just, it was so awesome. And
we only have a few minutes. After that, he was excited about God for a little bit, but he started getting afraid. He's got a little bit of, he's got a seer anointing, so he sees things in the spirit. He got after that, he did fine for a while. He got married.
Yeah, during that whole process, I saw a lot of things like in the spirit, I guess, and it really freaked me out.
And then he started getting afraid of being too spiritual. He really started getting afraid of this stuff coming back and all. He didn't come and talk to anybody. He had got married at the time, and he started working to make money and partying.
Started drinking again. After God did all that.
After all that.
Started drinking, started smoking, doing all that.
It was really horrible. And his wife, and they went through some hard things in that. They lost a baby.
My son passed away.
Passed away. And at that, he got really, really bitter. And then we really jumped in there. It was horrible. All of us remember when the baby died and just so much intensity going on. And we're not going to share all this, but it's been an intense journey. But I remember as we were praying and trying to help them through, gave them teaching. Everybody was around them. Everybody was there for them. But they didn't come and get more help. They didn't come and really deal with stuff. And pretty soon, you know, he started drinking, and pretty soon he just started working and trying to forget. And so
trying to take the pain away from losing my son.
Instead of, because in feeling, you know, recognizing, okay, I opened the door for that, but instead of forgiving himself, instead of, you know, saying, okay, Lord, heal me from this, you know. And he did for a short season, but he never really dealt with alcoholism. You know, I never knew alcohol was such a big problem. We didn't call that out. We didn't ever deal with the alcohol part of this, which shows how powerful it is that it's all these different things working together. That's why you don't play with this stuff. Find out don't just look at the one big thing. Look at all the little things, because if the enemy can keep alcohol in, okay, and there was a codependency between him and his wife. If the enemy can keep alcohol and codependency in there, right, then he's going to try to bring all this stuff back. And I'll just conclude with about a year and a half ago, all of it tried to get back in. And we're not going to get into details.
I'm not going to get into details.
I'll just tell you, he called me in the middle of the night, and I knew it was serious. God had me praying. And basically, he saw the demons trying to come back in, and really strongly trying to come back in. And we just prayed for him and talked him through it, and really prayed and cried out and called other people to pray. And I'll say this, by that, whatever that 15 half hour time where the enemy tried with everything he could to come back in using jealousy and using that codependency thing, he really, really broke through. He really gave everything to God. And he said, I'm never letting that thing back in. God, please forgive me. And I will say, from this day on, he has not drank since then. His wife has left him. We're still believing for reconciliation. She's an awesome woman of God. I know she went through a lot through all of this. She's been through a lot of pain. But I will say, it's been, a year and a half now with no alcohol. He came in after that night. He called, and we broke through, and he did not give in to that thing. And it was this intense warfare. And after that, he came in, and he seriously gave it all to God. He's coming to all the meetings, and the enemy really does try to come back. And so you need to live for God, not just get free and then go about your life. Your life is not your own. Amen. And so we'll finish some tomorrow. We'll go into more spiritual things. Thank you. Yay. That was very, very hard for him this year.
You know, I will say though, like, after going through all that and then like kind of backsliding again and then almost letting that thing back in again, and then I was like, you know what, this time, God, I give it to you. And I really can say I've truly fallen in love with God, and he's been really awesome, and he's just shown me so much love, and you know, he loves all of us so much, and it just...
And he's real.
God, he's
become so real to him, and he's always reading the word, and he's helping minister to other people. And so let me say this for those who minister, and then we're going to get ready to do the offering, because we really do want to do an offering to help pay for all this. But see, it's about giving your life to God and then letting God use you however he wants. He knows when to have you make a phone call in the middle of the night. Amen. He knows how to do this. If he can get people with the heart that they'll give everything to him. And let me tell you this, God gives you plenty of free time. Amen. I'm getting ready to go on a cruise. Woohoo. And I mean, he gives you, you know, he just puts everything together. He's not this, I've got to slave and work for God. He's like this awesome God who gives you rest, and you enter in that rest and you live in that place. And here's the bottom line. You've got to love the way he loves. Amen. That's what we've got to love him. We've got to then love ourselves. We then have to love others. And true ministry is loving people that you wouldn't even have liked before. When God gets you to that place, and you're not just hanging around people that all are the same and really like you, but you step out there and you begin to hang out with who God wants you to hang out with, and in that place you begin to love like you've never even known possible, then God begins to really flow and do what he wants to do. Amen? And so I didn't touch the notes yet, so tomorrow we're going to try to get through them. They're not really notes, they're scripture, but most of you seem to know where the scriptures are. I see a lot of, I get that scripture, so we'll just see how the Lord wants to do this. I will at least give you the scriptures tomorrow. And yes, we are going to take up the offering, because we're getting ready to go to India. We need a couple $1,000s more for that trip. We're going to see to an orphanage there, and I can't share anything else on the web, but we're going to go to an orphanage there and just really believe God to do whatever He chooses to do there. We also, you know, want to keep putting these broadcasts out. I want to be able to have these conferences for free. Amen. I want to be able to minister. I want to train up more people to minister. So when you do give here, I promise you, you're giving to good ground. You're not giving to big fancy buildings, and you're not giving to big paychecks. You're not giving, you're really giving to take what God's given us out of these doors through the media. Amen. And do powerful things. And you know, for me personally, the most exciting thing is to watch Him really change, even though it took a long time, and to watch Him serving God, and to watch Him serving God with no other motive than I'm in love with God now, and I'm going to give Him everything. And tomorrow we'll even talk about the spiritual laws, that is one of the laws to stay walking free. There's actually a spiritual law that says to the point that you serve Satan, you have to serve God to remain free. So when God really comes in and sets you free from something powerful, you don't get to just la-di-da around and play on that little computer and look at pornography again. You don't get to just kind of think this and do your own thing, because you served His enemy. If you served His enemy in a disgusting way, then you owe God. And there's scripture somewhere. It's in Romans. I'll find it for you. Ryan knows where it is. Somebody ask him. But it's basically to the place that you serve Satan, to the place that you serve sin and were a slave to sin, you are now a slave to God.
I believe it's in Romans.
Romans 6:19 is that spiritual law. So when you're ministering to people, if I get somebody who's a Sunday school person, you know, and they messed up, okay, that's going to be a pretty easy ministry. Amen? And they're not going to have to totally sell out to not fall back into sin. But when I'm talking to somebody who was into Satanism and drugs and violence and murder, and I mean really the stuff, adultery, all this stuff, to the place that they serve the enemy, you've got to get them filled with the Holy Spirit and serving God to that degree. And let me say, you can't serve God but out of love. So it's not by the works. It's not how much work they do around here. Amen? It's by a relationship. I can see, is that relationship growing? Are they becoming more like Christ? Are they really serving God now? And as a minister, I can sit back and usually tell you who's not going to make it. And I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. I'm telling you, and you'll know, you can ask Arnold. I'll come to your house. I'll send everybody to call you, and we'll go to a special meeting if you won't come here. We'll all get around you, right? Because God, it's like, you know, we got to rescue these people. We got to keep them walking with God. You know, we don't want anybody to fall back into the snare of the enemy. Amen? Love looks like something. I think that's a Heidi Baker quote. But love really does look like something. And it can look like something in America. It doesn't just have to look like something in Africa. It can look like something in this place and in your home and in your neighborhoods and where you work. Love really does have an action of going forth and setting the captive free. Amen.